You're listening to Up Your Brave on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Reality Check Radio. This is Natalie Cutler-Welsh on the Up Your Brave show. And I'm talking today to Louisa Havers, all the way from the UK. She's an absolute legend. I think it's like 11 o'clock at night. And tonight we're going to be talking about unlocking financial abundance by healing your money blocks. We're talking about money. Welcome, Louisa.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
What time is it?
It is just coming up to 11 o'clock at night. So.
You are a legend. Thank you so much for being so committed to joining us and sharing some insights with our audience here in New Zealand. And of course, around the world, we do get listeners around the world. We'd love to talk about money because it's an interesting time right now in the world. So before we do that, I'm going to read a little bit of a bio, and then I'd love you to share a bit of backstory. So for those of you that don't know Louisa, Louisa Havers is an internationally renowned success and business coach. She's the creator of the Helix Method and Master Akashic Records teacher, which is Soul Journeys Method. She enables high achievers and coaches to unlock their superpowers. Oh my goodness. I talk about superpowers too. I love it. Turbocharged soul aligned magnetism. And lift the ceiling in both their lives and business. It's a journey Louisa knows works as she personally has undertaken it herself, spending years leading change in the highly pressurized and stressful social services sector, which led her to having shingles, chronic fatigue, and compelling her to break away from the corporate matrix of overwork. It was the first step to creating her own life of freedom and a dream business income. Louisa enables her clients across the globe to activate quantum leaps to success in their own journeys to fulfillment, self-love, and 6/7-figure income. Daring to live your life's purpose is truly possible under Louisa's loving, powerful, and insightful guidance. Oh, I love the daring to live your life's purpose. So align with Up Your Brave.
I love it.
So we've given our audience a little bit of an insight into you before we dive into the money stuff. How did you get to this place? I can see that you've been through a bit of a health journey. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when I look back, do you know what? It was today, 7 years ago, I left social services. And It was, yeah, I just realized that as I looked at the date. And that just feels like, yeah, past life. It was so much has happened over the last 7 years. But to get to that point, I'd been working for them for 13 years and had been doing all sorts of things, leading on, you know, community safety stuff, leading on domestic abuse, sexual abuse, preventing radicalization, some heavy kind of going stuff. Loved it, loved making a difference. But what had started to happen was we had had pay freezes within the sector for like 8 years. And of course, everything's getting more expensive. I have two children and I'm a single parent, that my sons are getting bigger and the cost of our household was increasing. And they were just giving me more work at work and no more money. And I was like, this is reaching breaking point. And it truly did, because It got to the point where I found myself with a bout of shingles and chronic fatigue. And for the first time in my career, being off work sick and, you know, going down that rabbit hole with the organization. And it really gave me a massive wake-up call, because it wasn't lost on me that before my father passed away, his period of ill health had started with a bout of shingles. And so it, for me, it was a bit of a wake-up call that I didn't want to have the kind of life that my father had done towards the end of his life, where he had put everything on hold and had always thought he was going to, you know, do all these amazing things when he retired. And then He had ill health retirement and passed away. And so it felt like it was a sort of blessing from the universe, if you like, to kind of go, hey, wake up. You're just working really, really hard, putting your life on hold and doing the exact thing that, you know, you said you don't want to have happen that your dad did. And so it was that bout of shingles that was really like, hang on a second, there's more to life than this. And, you know, I really just wanted to have more fun and to be able to make a difference in a way that wasn't involving as it was at that point into sort of cutting services and redefining services in what felt like a restricted way. And so I started to go on that journey of, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I actually had started a network marketing company, and that gave me the sort of leverage to be able to go, hang on, I've got a way to make an income that's outside of social services. And I used that as a way to kind of transition, if that makes sense. And to took me about 3 years to leave fully when I finally, you know, this time 7 years ago, closed the door and started my own coaching business. And so that was the sort of the turning point for me. Those two pieces was my period of ill health and my, you know, the kind of the previous history of my father passing away, having not lived to his highest potential. And I just didn't want to do that. So I felt very passionate about that. And it was, Natalie, it was one of those things, you know, when you find yourself giving everybody loads of advice. So in the workplace,
Tell people what we need to hear, right?
Yes, exactly. So I had loads of people coming to me saying, you know, they wanted to feel more fulfilled in their role at work, and they've been in social services for like 20 years and the jobs had changed around them. And, you know, through doing the coaching with them, we'd find out that actually they wanted to leave. And I kept telling people, you know, you need to kind of find your purpose and have more fulfillment in life. And you know, and you're like, I think this message is for me as well. So I finally did it and set up my coaching business, and haven't looked back.
Well, that is truly upping your brave. It's interesting. And I bet a lot of our listeners, if you are listening, I bet a lot of people can relate to a few things in that, you know, wanting to have more fun and fulfillment in what they're doing. And also having that kind of that critical aha moment of going, oh my goodness, you know, whether it's because it's like, this is just like my dad who went downhill and never got to do all the things he had on his, maybe his bucket list, or, you know, things he wanted to achieve. Or maybe like you telling advice, it's so classic. So to our listeners, if this resonates with you, definitely send us a text. We'd love to know if you're feeling like you want to have more fun, or if you hear yourself giving advice to others, which you kind of secretly know is actually meant for you, you can send us a text 2057 or email inbox@realitycheck.radio. That's exciting that you had the courage to take the plunge and a strategy to navigate your way or transition your way, towards working for yourself, which is so awesome. So how did you suddenly move into this area of money, you know, financial abundance, and that became your thing? Was it always your coaching around money?
You know what? It wasn't. My coaching was originally around, when I first left, my first coaching program was around finding your passion and purpose. But what I do, and then still did it from a very energetic perspective. So I use the term energy psychology. So it's helping people to change their thoughts, emotions, and beliefs so that they can create the life that they want from an intentional perspective. So it's not only about, you know, the strategies that you're implementing in your business, but it's about who you're being ultimately. And so what I found was, so I was leading with finding your purpose, because that's kind of the journey that I had undertaken. And the work that I was doing, so many people would, within the first sort of 6 to 8 weeks, find that they were breaking through an income ceiling, suddenly having a pay rise, or doubling their income, or whatever it might be, depending on, because I did work with some people that were employees at that time. And so that was really exciting to me, because it's very tangible money, and you can really start to see the impact of that. And so it was through that I recognized my clients were having their breakthroughs. And then I had my own breakthrough as well, through basically, you know, one of the programs that I now take my clients through is what I did to have my own money breakthrough, where I literally, you know, doubled my income. And it was through changing how I was showing up for myself, the identity that I had ultimately. You know, I'd gone from being so familiar within social services, being surrounded by people who were struggling, you know, in society, and then also being in a workforce where people weren't, quite frankly, earning enough money, you know, for the jobs that they were doing. And so I brought that identity with me into the entrepreneurial place. And I had to change that and to completely recognize that actually that identity, that mask, if you like, that I was wearing, wasn't who I truly was. It was an identity that was fit for purpose, if you like, whilst I was working for social services. And I needed to become a different person. And it was as I started to embody that and really change my identity that I had the breakthrough. And so I just love helping people have the breakthrough because it's just so exciting. And for me, being able to heal your money story and journey, it actually has a ripple effect across all aspects of life because it's ultimately it's your relationship with yourself.
Yeah, well, let's dive into that. I mean, I'd love it if we could have some breakthroughs for people today, but I love to get from my guests some practical tips that people can apply in their daily life. And I know that money is a contentious issue for a lot of people at the moment. And I hear what you're saying around, you know, the people you surround yourself, that kind of becomes the bar, or the expectation, or the identity. What are some tips or strategies or even exercises, you know, that you can share with us here on this interview today that some of our listeners can possibly implement in their life to raise the bar, I suppose, on their money blocks and beliefs?
Yes, I think so one of the things that I do with my clients is it's part of the Helix method, which is the modality that I use, which is an energy psychology modality that I teach and train my clients to use as well. So we train people to use it within their businesses. And it's so practical and easy that people can do it, you know, as a self-help tool, if you like, that they can do it at home. And to find out what is the block that is holding you back. And so one of the things that we use is muscle testing. We use specifically what's called the sway technique, which is where you use your body like a dowsing device. And the reason why I love that one is because I can work remotely with people and teach them how to use it themselves so that they're not dependent on me muscle testing for them, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So teach them how to use the sway technique, and which is where your body goes forwards for a yes and backwards for a no. So that if that sounds, I mean, I remember when I first did muscle testing, and I was like, what is going on? So I've been there, done that, kind of like, this is really strange. It is really strange when you've not done it before, but it's very, very powerful. And it's a great way to kind of unlock what beliefs you're holding that may be holding you back. Because one of the things that I have found is that we can tell ourselves a good story as to why we haven't got X, Y, and Z. But of course, the story that we're listening to in our head has been generated by our subconscious to keep us in the same place. And so we kind of buy these thoughts that we hear, these stories that we hear, but actually there's a layer beneath that that is generating that conversation in our head. And that's the bit that I want to get to with people. And that's what I find that you can get to with muscle testing, to really uncover what is the belief that you're holding that's creating the outcome, that perhaps the experience that you want in life, whether it's, you know, having roller coaster months in your business, or perhaps it's, you know, feeling like you haven't got enough clients that you know to work within your business, or whatever it may be. There's so many ways that money blocks can manifest in your business. And I think just to speak to a couple of ones that people can sort of see if it resonates for them, this will be helpful, is, and one of is these three money blocks. So one of the big ones that I see, and often people will kind of go, no, I this isn't relevant for me, but I think it's something that we can all require more of ourselves. And this is not having enough self-love. That's the first one that is a really big block for people, where we can start to, because we'll instinctively say, I love myself, because we know that we're supposed to. But of course, we may, if we're doing some muscle testing, we may reveal from the subconscious that actually we could love ourselves some more. You know, where are we tolerating things, or perhaps settling for things that are less than our desires, and because of, you know, ultimately how much we love ourselves. Our self-love guides our beliefs, our actions. And so when we allow ourselves to sort of top up our self-love, then we really truly can make it become, you know, it get easier. And it links.
I just want to jump in. So for our audience listening, I know that there will be a lot of people like me who are like, oh yeah, muscle testing. Cool. Yeah, you know, and there will be a lot of people who are like, what is she even talking about? How does that even work? That's not even a thing. Okay. So I just want to acknowledge, I get it. I hear you. But I'm inviting you, listener, to be open to just be open to it. Because I think these three blocks that you're about to tell us, and you've told us one, are so, I mean, self-love straight away, not for me, but for certain people in my life, I'm like, yes, absolutely. I can see that that is so relevant. And I'll just jump in while I've got the mic. On one thing for me, when I did some of this money block work many, many, many years ago, we were going through a hard time financially. We had moved from Christchurch, where we had literally just spent $200,000 doing a renovation, but it was making our house our forever home. We were like, we're going to live here forever. And I think we'd almost paid off the mortgage. Like, we were looking good. And then we had the earthquake. My husband lost his job. Our house was in the red zone. We literally had no running water. We had no power. And we had a one-day-old baby. Like, my baby was born the day after, the third child, not just one baby, but we had three children, et cetera, et cetera. We moved to Auckland. It was financially hard. And I remember being at this event and they were talking about money and saying how everything you have is already right in front of you. What do you have that's in front of you that is money? And I said, well, I've got these boxes of books that I've written, this parenting book that I wrote, which ironically was called If Only They Told Me. So that's interesting. But anyway, and I remember her saying, well, why, you know, asking me about money. And I was kind of like the guinea pig in the room and everyone's staring at me and I'm trying not to cry. And I said, well, of course I need the money. And here's the clincher, but other people need it more than me. And that was my belief, was that like, well, other people need it more. And so I was, you know, et cetera. So I just wanted to throw that in there as one of the many, many money beliefs that certain people have for very good reasons. But we need to move through them in order to move on. So back to you. What are some of the other three? Or do you want to comment on that?
Well, that's such a good one to comment on, because I think so many people hold a version of that, if that makes sense. And we feel very logically, it makes sense to believe that. But then it's, well, how does that then impact your behavior and how you're creating your reality in your life, in your business? That's the piece.
Deprivation.
Yes. Which you don't logically want to create. But it's like, hang on a second. Here we are with this belief that is underpinning what the reality that I'm experiencing. And it is amazing when you start to change those beliefs, how your reality starts to change. So I thank you for bringing that one forward, because I think that many people will resonate with that one, because it is a common one. You might say it in a slightly different way, but it is amazing how many people can have that. The other one that is linked to our sort of self-love barometer is how much we trust ourselves. And because if you don't fully trust yourself, then it is going to show up in business. It will show up in, you know, it impacts your sales. It's really sneaky. It can be how many times, and this is just for everyone listening to kind of think, you know, how many times have you not followed through on what you said you're going to do? So perhaps you said you're going to do something and then you just keep putting it off. Well, our subconscious is listening. And so every time we don't follow through on what we say we're going to do, we're programming ourselves to not follow through on what we say we're going to do. And then that has a huge impact on the beliefs that our subconscious then kind of creates and embodies. And we start to then not trust our word in relation to what we say we're going to do. So the subconscious starts to, it weakens our intention.
That's things that you say you're going to do. Is this correct? So things that you say you're going to do for other people, or for yourself. So some people might go, oh no, I always do what I say. Well, that's when it's for someone else, but what about when it's for you?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's when it's for you. You know, even if it's like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym today. And then you don't go to the gym because you put it off because, you know, I don't know, the kids come in and they've wanted to, you know, suddenly need you to take them to their their class or whatever it may be. There's always this juggling act going on, and we'll rationalize, you know, and give a very good reason as to why we haven't done X, Y, and Z. But it ultimately, you know, every cell in our body is listening to what we're saying. And if we're constantly kind of diverting and not following through on what we say we're going to do in the day-to-day things, then when we say I'm going to build X, Y, Z business, the subconscious on one level is kind of going, yeah, right. And so it does have an impact on our identity, our expectations of ourselves. And there's actually a simple thing that you can do if you're somebody who this is resonating, you're like, yeah, I think I've kind of fallen into that bucket of not following through on what I say I'm going to do. Even just by on the day-to-day tasks, training yourself to follow through on what you say you're going to do, it, with the smallest things, it's going to start to build up that your self-trust barometer and being able to have more confidence in following through so that you are enabling yourself to have confidence in what you're investing in, have confidence in, you know, trusting yourself in your decisions when you're hiring people or when you're deciding to launch a new program or whatever it may be. Self-trust is really key. So yeah, we need to follow through on what we say we're going to do, or if we're catching ourselves kind of just procrastinating on what we say we're going to do, being able to catch that and then just training our consciousness to be able to go, hang on a second, I just caught myself doing that, and so I'm going to follow through now, or change how we're speaking to ourselves. So those are two big ones that will manifest in various different ways. And then I think the third big one, which I really see as people are actually at all levels of business, and I'm sure this will resonate for everybody along their journey, is at some point feeling unsafe to be seen at the new level. It's a version of imposter syndrome, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, our subconscious wants to keep us safe. It really wants to keep us doing the same thing. And ultimately, you know, being seen in different communities, different arenas, it hasn't always been safe to do that. And so there is a sort of collective programming around that can bubble up. And of course, you know, if we've had any, people will have different experiences of their experience of being seen as a child in different ways, whether it was perhaps a teacher might have ridiculed you when we're reading in class. You know, I know that was a big thing for me. I'm dyslexic, and having to stand up and read in class was a big thing for me. I was talking to some old school friends the other day who they're saying, oh, I used to love it. I get really excited when it was my turn. I was like, that was like my worst nightmare, you know, counting down for the teacher to come and tell me it's my time to read. And so, of course, everyone's going to have slightly different experiences around that. But of course, you know, or whether somebody was mean to you at school because of, you know, essentially, you know, being you, whatever it might be. And even actually seeing people being taken down on TV and on media, we see it in the, you know, celebrities being put up on a pedestal and then they love to take them down, as it were. All of that is going into our consciousness, and our subconscious that's trying to keep us safe is going to go, no, don't be more visible. Perhaps don't go into that room, and start to create these resistances to growing our business. So those
would
are three.
Would that also equate, sorry, to and especially over the last 3 years, people being more visible or more vocal, if there were things that they didn't align with or didn't agree with, you know, government, health, whatever, or is it really more around, you know, business and promotions and jobs and that type of visibility?
Do you know, I think that there's two things there. You're absolutely right, because we have seen that actually online, people who have spoken out against the government and the narrative completely being ridiculed, mm-hmm. Called all sorts of things under the sun, and losing their livelihoods in mm-hmm. many cases as well. So the evidence is there. And then how does that then make us? What's our subconscious decided as a result of that as to whether we will speak up for what we believe in, or actually even questioning something, having the courage to kind of just say that doesn't sound right, and inviting people to consider another alternative. So I think it's both, I would say.
Yeah, it's been a massive area or time of challenge, but also opportunity for people to either speak up or step up or be more visible or not. Interesting times. Okay, so those are three of the common blocks that people have.
Yes. Yeah. So what you can do is like just muscle testing. And I always say to my clients, the language that you use needs to resonate with your subconscious. So I might say something in a very different way to how you might say something. And if we were muscle testing, you know, it would really matter what the words that we were using. But things like you can have fun muscle testing to see if, you know, let's say, for example, I trust myself to make a profitable business decision. If you were to muscle test on that, would you get a yes or a no? And let's say if you got a no, like how is that belief then impacting the decisions that you are making and the choices that you're making in your business? If ultimately underneath behind that, there is a belief that actually I don't trust myself. Does that make sense? So being able to say things like, you can muscle test on, I trust myself to make profitable business decisions. I hide myself in my business. That's one. A lot of people who work really, really hard are ultimately in a space of, and not always, but this, I'm just going to share this in case this resonates for someone. We can hide ourselves in our business because we're just so busy feeling very purposeful, doing the business things. But actually, if we stopped and allowed some space in our business, we might recognize that actually there was a bit more fulfillment being asked to come in other areas of our life, whether it's relationships or having more time with other family members, whatever it might be. That's what I mean by hiding ourselves in our business.
But yeah, or else overworking at work, because not everyone in my audience is a business owner. So if you're in the workplace, you're overworking, you're just like, I'll do this, I'll do that, work. Is that the same thing, hiding themselves?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And we'll tell ourselves all the good reasons as to why we have to keep working. You know, the boss is expecting it, or, you know, there's going to be a million scenarios that we'll buy into as to why. And so that's why I find it so helpful to be able to really kind of go, okay, hang on, let's just take a fresh look at this. That's interesting that my subconscious is believing this. And ultimately, if I change those beliefs, like what is possible in terms of changing my life and changing my expectations and the standards that I'm requiring myself to you know, live to in life, if that makes sense.
I imagine this can be quite a pivotal aha moment for people when they realize, if they're open to accepting it, going, oh my gosh, it is trust. That's the big thing. Like, I do love myself, but I don't trust myself, or vice versa, or the visibility. So for those listening, if you haven't heard of muscle testing, correct me if I'm wrong, but the traditional way people would do it was to raise their arm up and the person would cut, somebody else would push down on it. And so there's this level of resistance and the body is responding. They're not deciding how much resistance. Yeah. But what you're suggesting is this sway technique, because they don't need you pushing on their hand. And I guess for your clients, they can do it on Zoom and you just literally watch them. Are they standing there with their legs, what, like shoulder width apart? And they're either going forward or back? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can do it if you are unable to stand, you can do it seated down, can't speak. It's such a quick way to do it. So if I describe it very quickly, so then people can kind of follow along if they're able to, is you have your feet hip width apart, knees slightly soft. So they're not locked, and hands out of your pocket. And then the best way to do it is if you are going to go within for a meditation. So you close your eyes and then just start to notice your breath. So you can feel your chest rising and falling with your breath. That means that you're kind of coming out of your head. Your attention is on your heart. And then a great way to sort of get a baseline response is to say something you know to be true. So you'd say your name. My name is Louisa Havers. And then just notice what happens. And it may be a second or a couple of seconds, but if you say it out loud, you say, my name is Louisa Havers, you'd say your name, and then notice if you just can feel a little pull forwards. And you might feel a pull in sort of your heart area. You might feel it in your sort of tummy area. I can see you moving forwards.
I know.
And then I can feel it too. Say something that you know to be not true. So if you'd say, I could say, like, my name is Donald Duck. That's what I know is not true. And then to notice how that feels. So again, closing your eyes, just allowing yourself to focus your breath, your attention on your breath, and then saying something, you know, not to be true. So my name is Donald Duck. and then noticing what that feels like. So I find a lot of people really notice that they can feel like it's almost like there's a rope between their shoulder blades and they get pulled back. And when people first do it, their sway is very subtle because they're partly kind of their brain's going, what am I doing? But then as you really trust the process, people's sway gets bigger and bigger.
Well, I think that, thank you for talking us through it. Because some people would have written it off, to be fair. And they'd be like, oh, this is hocus pocus, whatever. But then if they actually want to up their brave and do it in the quiet of their own space where no one's watching, they can actually see like, yeah, do I lean forward when I say my name is, or back when it's not my name? And then what? You start asking some of the more real questions now that you've got a baseline.
Exactly. Okay. Yes, you need the baseline because otherwise your brain's going to go, this is a load of hocus pocus. And, you know, and I completely get it because I remember the first time I did it and I was in my bedroom upstairs and I was like, what has just happened? And so I was muscle testing on all the sort of, you know, my mum's name, my dad's name, and then making up names and just really doing it with lots of different things just to really get a good baseline. And when I was like, right, okay, this isn't making it up, this is doing it, then I started having a play with, okay, what are the beliefs that I'm holding that I thought I might be holding? And then finding a whole bunch of stuff that I was like, well, I was not expecting that to be there. and because that's where, you know, really with the art of questioning can really help you to go very, very deep to find out what's going on.
Yes. Okay. Before we move on, can you give us one other common question that you would ask someone or that we can ask ourselves in the quiet of our own room?
Oh, that's such a good, okay. So in relation to money, so this is a great one. So if you have, this can help people to, I call it playing higher or lower. Okay. So if someone's wanting to grow their business to have a pay rise at work, and they're wanting it to be a higher number than what they want now, what you can do is you can say something like, I will allow myself, or I'm ready to allow myself to receive XYZ amount of money, whatever the amount of money is. And see if you get a yes or a no. So if I just use the example of $100,000, so you would say, I'm ready to allow myself to receive $100,000 per year, or however, you know, you would describe it, and just see if you go backwards or forwards for it. And typically what I do find, if there's resistance to increasing your income, the resistance comes in below the amount that you say you desire. So, but you can play higher or lower. So you could, if you get a, let's say you got a no to, I'm ready to allow myself to receive that amount, you'd go low and say, okay, I'm ready to allow myself to receive over 80,000. And then see, do you go backwards or forwards? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Cool. So you can kind of see where your subconscious is feeling. Oh, it's okay. I'm allowing myself to allow this amount of money in. That's a great kind of one for people to do, just to be able to start to kind of see what's going on in terms of what they're allowing themselves to receive.
Okay. So once somebody establishes that they're like, okay, so self-love is a bit of a block for me, or trust, or maybe it's the money barrier of 120K, I can't get past it with the yes, no, then what? Like, what can they do to move forward and go, well, I do want to unlock my financial abundance. That would be really handy right now, since groceries are ridiculously expensive and all the things. What's the next move they can do?
Oh, the next move is, so we do, within the Helix method, we have clearing statements and then imprinting statements. So the great way to think of this is that your subconscious is listening. You're instructing your subconscious with every word that you're saying. And so through being really intentional, a great way to think of this is a little bit like taking yourself into a little mini meditation where we use like a clearing statement where you would simply say something like, I'm ready to release this resistance to allowing in 120K. I release this across all dimensions, planes, times, levels of consciousness. I like to say it once out loud and then twice internally. The reason for that is so that you are staying with the thought and the words that you're saying, and allowing yourself to really feel what that feels like. So the body is listening, if that makes sense, because it's very easy to kind of very flippantly say, oh, I'm going to just change it. But we really want to be really intentional. It's so powerful, because then what you can do is, after you've done that three times, And what's really beautiful is I always like say to people, you know, put your hand on your heart so you can kind of just really kind of stay present with it as you're doing it. Then just breathe in for four, breathe out for four afterwards, just to anchor it in. You can then muscle test to see if it's gone. I would say to validate it, and your body will respond. And then when you've got clarity that you've changed the energy around that, you've changed the consciousness around that, then you can move on to the imprinting side, which is where you're like, right, this is going to be a more helpful belief for me to hold, which is like, it's easy for me to create 120K, because actually that's an often one that comes up. You know, if we've worked so hard to get to where we are, the brain's thinking you're going to have to work even harder to get to that next level. So we don't want to be holding any of those beliefs. And so then you can start to imprint, and people might be familiar with affirmations. It's like a sort of building on that, you know, bringing in what is it that you want to believe and to feel, and then imprinting that. So it might be like, I'm ready to believe that it's really easy for me to create 120K a year. I allow this across all dimensions, planes, times, levels of consciousness. And that phrase just means across all reality, basically. And again, it's just speaking to that part of your consciousness that knows about this stuff.
Okay. I love it. I love it. And I think it's different. I mean, it's going to be really different for some people, but what most people or many people would do or would have done maybe previously is go, oh, we need to scrimp. We need to save. You know, we need to, you know, or I need to earn more money, but it comes from that place of need and desperation. And so this is, hey, if things aren't working out for you in the bank, a bank account, like maybe try this new approach, give it a go. What do you got to lose? That's what I'd say.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. It's just being open to this and taking some new beliefs for a spin. And do you know what? I completely get it. Cause I remember my journey when I was starting to learn about this stuff, and I was, you know, as skeptical as they could come. So it's the 7 year year old version of me, the one that left social services 7 years ago, would have been going, what's going on? How have you evolved? And what are you teaching now? Because it was not on my radar.
Well, in a minute, I'm going to ask you how we can connect with you. So if people want to go and maybe watch some videos or learn some more, they can do that. So I know you've been talking about the Helix method. Before we move on, is there anything else you want to mention around what is the Helix method? How does it work? Or have we pretty much covered that?
We've pretty much covered it. It's an energy psychology modality. We have a number of tools that we use within it. The one that I speak to most is that one around the muscle testing, and then the we call it our manifesting ritual. You know, around rewiring your consciousness. So that's a great one. There are YouTube videos. If people, you know, look me up, Louisa Havers on YouTube, you'll have me demonstrating it there.
Yes.
And you know, we run masterclasses, free masterclasses, where people can come and just experience it. And that's my favorite thing to do, because it's free. You can come and have a play. We have people joining us from all over the world. We've got many community members in New Zealand and so that come and join us, and have even got up in the middle of the night to come and join our masterclasses live. Of course, many people joining them on the replay as well, when it's perhaps a bit more of a human time.
Definitely. I think some people will be ready. They're ready. People are more open to things a little bit more holistic or spiritual or woo-woo, call it what you want, but they are becoming more open to it. So thank you for that. And how can we follow you online, or a website that we can look up to learn more?
Sure. So my website is louisahavers.com. So that's louisahavers.com. And I'm on Instagram as Louisa Havers. I'm on Facebook as Louisa Havers, and LinkedIn. I tend to hang out on Instagram and Facebook mostly, though.
I love when my guests have consistent branding. It's like, it's just Louisa Havers across the board. Love it.
Yes.
That's so good. What else is coming up? I'm going to jump back to the Up Your Brave question in a minute, but while we're talking about how to find you, what else is coming up for you, either personally or in business, in the next 6 months that you'd love to tell us about?
Yes. So we have our next certification program starting in September for the Helix method. And so that is our year's training program that we take clients through. with the, some people come just to do it because they just want to do it for themselves. And others come because they want to implement the Helix method within their business and offer that as a service to their clients. We've set it up so that people can get started straight away. My intention was for people to have the support and supervision whilst they're working with clients, because of course you don't know when the complex case is going to come up. So that's why we've got the support in there for the full year. So I'm so excited about that. So we start that in September. And we also have coming up, this will be in September as well, our next free masterclass, which is called Limitless, where this is for self-aware entrepreneurs who want to break through their money ceiling. And we'll be doing the Helix method together. I'll guide you through, and we'll be working on some of the common money blocks for people. So those are two key things that are coming up, which I'm really excited about. And we run the masterclasses from time to time. So, you know, sort of four or five times a year. So there's always, if you miss one, there'll be another one coming up in November.
Well, that's great timing. And I think that will be very helpful for those people that are curious to give it a go or to learn more. So thank you about that. The Limitless Masterclass and, of course, the training. Can you just clarify for me? So did you create the Helix method yourself, or is it something you've certified in and now you're training others?
No, I created it myself. Amazing. And now I'm training others.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, hey, what is one thing that you've done in the last year where you truly upped your brave?
So I was thinking about this. I'm about to be really brave because I'm about to move country. But for the last year, I was thinking it's the preparation for what we're about to do, which has felt brave because we've completely redesigned our business model and all our systems and things, which meant hiring new team members, moving on other team members that had, you know, they've done a really good job, but it was time for us to bring different people in. And that was tricky. Anyone who's kind of moved team members around knows that it needs sensitive handling. And we've had our incredible OBM who's just been able to get everything sorted. And it has felt really brave because there was a lot of investment in terms of time and resources to get everything changed. But now we're in a place where we can serve more people with more ease, which is just absolutely fantastic. So that does feel like it was a brave, businessy one, but a brave thing to do at that time.
And the big question is, where are you going?
Well, I'm exploring at the moment. Okay. I'm looking at Dubai. I'm looking at Dubai. Haven't 100% landed on that. But in part because I'm thinking, well, where else could I go in the world? Like Bali. So Dubai and Bali are on the cards. And then also I'm looking at over on the Caribbean side of things. So the next piece is I need to go on some holidays to explore to see where I want
some recces.
Exactly.
That is exciting. That's really cool. And maybe this relates to your bucket list, maybe not, but for sure, my business name is The Go-To Girl because I connect people and I love introducing people. So I do know someone who's living it up in Thailand. I knew a lot of people that have lived in Bali as well as visited and done retreats, but people that actually lived in Bali, you probably already have connections, but let me know later on if you want any. Yes. And I also know people that have lived in Dubai. So I'm here.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, thank you so much. Because that's it. I was like, I've never been to Dubai. My OBM is moving there. So she's going, how hard is it going to be? Come out with me. And I was like, oh, this is very tempting. So I am going to go and explore it properly because I'm following the breadcrumbs that the universe is putting in front of me.
That is very exciting. Okay. So what is one thing on your bucket list, something you would love to do, be, or experience that we can possibly help you to do?
Yes. So what is high on my heart at the moment is to go and see some humpback whales with my sons. I have two adult sons. And so this would just be fabulous. And I have been thinking about going to Norway, partly because it's closer to home, but I'm open to suggestions of amazing. Where's the best place to go and see humpback whales? Because it's those types of whales that I really want to see.
Okay, everybody, that's a question. If you want to send us a message, or you can message Louisa directly, or you can text us 2057 on the text. What is anything else that you wanted to add? But I also wanted to ask you before you go, generally, how is the vibe in the UK at the moment? We have a lot of expats. Shout out to any Kiwi expats living in the UK right now. But how is the vibe over there? Because I know that when friends have traveled anywhere overseas and they come back to New Zealand, they're like, oh my goodness, Kiwis are still wearing masks. Oh my goodness. Like they just, because we don't realize we're in this little country and we are following the rules. Well, not everybody, but I think some people are slowly waking up. I feel like people around the world are a little bit more awake. What is the vibe in the UK?
Yeah, well, there's no masks going on. So the vibe in the UK, I would say predominantly at the moment is people are worrying the general stuff in the media. They're worrying about, you know, the cost of living, all of that kind of narrative. And then the climate change has been a big part of the conversation and the narrative around that, in part because anyone who's been in Britain, they know how we like to talk about the weather, partly because the weather's awful. And it's particularly awful at the moment. And the whole of Europe is having like this massive, massive heat wave and we've just got rain. So that's the vibe at the moment is what I would say is that people are sort of focusing on is how can they be more creative to kind of out create this matrix of, you know, the cost of living going up and all of the stories around that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting times for sure. And I know we keep saying this, but people keep saying, you know, oh, the next month, you know, there's going to be a few more breakthroughs or a few more truths coming out. I am ready and waiting for more of that to happen. All right. Before we wrap it up, Louisa, is there anything you'd love to share with us? Anything else on unlocking financial abundance by healing your money blocks?
I would say it's teaching your body what it feels like to have broken through to the other side already, so that your body, your subconscious knows that it's safe to be able to already be living in that overflow and, you know, at that next level, whatever that next level looks like for you. And then when you've really allowed your body, your subconscious to feel that, that's when the magic starts to happen and you'll start to be recognizing that something's changing in your reality.
That sounds amazing. All right, everyone, you can find out more about Louisa and some of her techniques or join her on the masterclass, louisahavers.com. Thanks so much, Louisa.
Thank you.
You're listening to Up Your Brave on RCR, Reality Check Radio.